Blessed are those who keep the word of God in good and noble heart and bear fruit of perseverance.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Gospodin s
vama. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. Reading of the Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus came to the territory of the Gadarenes, two demoniacs who were coming from the tombs met him. They were so savage that no one could travel by that road. They cried out, "What have you to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" Some distance away, a herd of many swine were feeding. The demons pleaded with him, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of swine." He said to them, "Go then." They came out and entered the swine, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, where they drowned. The swine herds ran away. When they came to the town, they reported everything, including what has happened to the demoniacs. Thereupon the whole town came out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they begged him to leave their district. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew today leads us into a scene from the life of Jesus, where there are many
nepoznatih stvari I reakcija,
things that are unknown, at least on the surface, and reactions. He leads us to encounter what already in the first glance is something that is not pleasing. The minute the person encounters it, he's not pleased. Jesus, on the other side of the Sea of Gennesareth, removes himself from Israel and goes into pagan territory, and two demoniacs come to meet him.
Život jednog čovjeka,
this is what the life of a man looks like, or people who are not the masters of their life.
To nam je iznimno teško zamisliti.
It is exceptionally difficult for us to imagine this, although each one of us has a similar experience in which he felt that something else governs him. But when it's a matter of directly, exactly, of the possessed, then we can imagine a terrible life. They would like to think with their own head, but they cannot. They think thoughts of a stranger. They have forced thoughts. These people would perhaps want to make their own decision, but they cannot. They're doing that what they don't want to do. Perhaps they would want to create their own relationships, but they're not free to enter into relationships. Whenever we look at the life of such individuals, there is nothing that we call human, free. They are under authority of someone else. Even when they speak, it is not these people that speak, but from them, Matthew says, those who possess them spoke the evil spirits, as Matthew calls them. According to these depictions, we see that it was terrible for those people. They lived in graveyards, the closest to death. It is horrible to spend your life near to death, there where there is the breath of death, there where all of life is distanced, there where in this life runs away. They come out of the cemeteries. And Matthew says they were very violent. There was a force that governed them, a power, said. That not only regards to them, but this violence was suffered by them, and from them, from those who were nearest to them. The people want to pass on that road, they couldn't. And we know wherever there is somebody who is not free, regardless of what kind of lack of freedom speak of, it's not only that person who is enslaved that suffers, but everyone around him does. Let us look at our daily enslavements. Slavery to things of alcohol, tablets, drugs. Enslavement to things, buying, shopping. Enslavement to thoughts that others have. The slavery to virtual world, internet. Look at whatever slavery you want, and you will see that everyone around them suffers. It is impossible that the father in the family, for example, be enslaved by alcohol, and that his children and his wife grow well. It is impossible. They all suffer, and everyone who comes near suffers. In other words, we notice that wherever there is a lack of freedom, slavery, it has a tendency to overcome as many people around as possible, to bring into a circumference as many people as possible. And we see also and note the opposite. Jesus is free. He brings peace. And around him, he spreads peace. Whoever is peace wants to make others free. Whoever is enslaved wants to enslave others in the same way. And this is the two worlds. Matthew describes what happens when Jesus comes close. He still hasn't done anything. He didn't say one word. It was enough that he's present with his freedom. And already, those who are cause of the enslaved people, the evil spirits, rebel. From this text of Matthew, we can learn something very important. For facing this horrific world, in the language we recognize that it's a matter of evil spirits, about these spirits that we recognize from the beginning of the Bible, and through it, always in the same way. It's only very important to listen very carefully to how they speak. They never speak only lies. And naturally, they never speak the truth. They speak a language that one and the other are mixed in. Like the first question at the beginning of the Bible. Did God command you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden? God truly commanded. But it is a lie not to eat from all the trees, but only from one. And this is what happens here in this language as well. Listen to it. What have you to do with us, Son of God? Yes, he is the Son of God. It's true. But what do you have with us? That is the twisting. That is a lie. They would like him not to have anything with them. They would like to have people to possess and spaces that possess, where Jesus has nothing together with them, where they would have their territory separate from his territory. And in this simple way, they would say, that is yours, this is ours. The second sentence, have you come here to torment us before the appointed time? It is true that he came, it's evident. But they put it in that it's his mission to come to torment evil spirits. No, this is not why he came to the world. He came to save people. He has come to free the enslaved. You see how in a single sentence all the mission is turned upside down. You've come to torment us, to your tormentor. And we'll notice wherever there is a resistance from God, that every nearness to the Lord is holy, every nearness to God is experienced as a torment, as terrorism. The Gospel Evangelist gives us a sentence that in this meeting where Jesus did not yet say a single word, he's just present, only the evil spirits speak, even the two men who are enslaved do not speak. And then there's the sentence, some distance away, a herd of many swine was feeding. This is obvious that it's a matter of a pagan region with pagan cultures raising the swines that for Jews are unclean animals. And then it says that the demons pleaded with him, if you drive us out, send us into the herd of swine. I suggested to them what to do with them, as if begging them as to what they're to do with him, he was to do with them. And this is oftentimes, we understand this, especially when we look at the parallel with the evangelist Mark. Then Mark clearly says that Jesus heard their prayer. But with Matthew, you can read this differently. And I believe that this is a very important detail in Matthew, because when Matthew describes the temptation of Jesus, it ends that Jesus says to the tempter, be gone. The same happens when through Peter the tempter speaks, it says, be gone from me, Satan. And here is the same reaction to go. That go does not mean go to the swine, but just leave from here. Command. This is Jesus' only word, and at that word, they leave these two individuals, but he doesn't say what happened with them. But what we know from other is a great change took place. From enslaved men, they became normal, healthy. What Matthew gives us is that visually may see with what these two people were tormented by. What is it that took away their authority at once? This herd of swine is rushed down into death by an invisible force. Can we imagine what it's like to carry such deadly demoniac power within you that takes away your authority? At once, as if Matthew is showing us in front of us how much evil was inside of these people. That is why they were savage. That is why we're speaking about a violence that everyone who came near suffered, as if Matthew is saying to us, look at this. What happened with the herd of swine was what these spirits wanted to do to these two men. This was their final destiny, because this power against God doesn't want anything else except destruction and death. Naturally, something like that powerfully influences the society which comes. The swine herds ran away, soon in town everything was heard, and the most unusual detail takes place, and that is that the whole town came out to meet Jesus. They seek him, and they begged him to leave. Jesus didn't say a single word, he just left. The only word that is here, Jesus is, the one to the evil spirits to say, go. This is about the city that begs Jesus to leave is important, because it says that people easily get used to their enslavements, their faults, their demons, their violence, their savageness. It's much easier for them to live together with such evil in their midst than to want freedom. This happens in small, ordinary little things. For example, a man who comes to the doctor, he's 60 years old, and the doctor says, you have a very grave sickness, you have to stop smoking. So I'm sorry, I'd rather smoke and die earlier. I'd have strength for something like that. And this city considers it's easier for them to leave themselves to be in such a state as they are than to permit freedom to overtake them. That is the danger of each one of us. Every sin enslaves us. Every sin makes us half free. We lose a half of a soul. But with that loss of the part of our soul, it's as if we also lose the will for freedom, the will for a complete life. And we say, leave me, I have no more strength. And that truly something grave rests. Freedom requires effort for freedom. We're all born free. But no one is free if he has not put the effort to be free. What this text offers us is that we have a clear image that with God, freedom is much easier, much simpler than without him. It is enough for him to come near. And I am already more free. And everything that holds me enslaved wants to come out. In our hands lies whether we permit him to come near us, to come to dwell with us, that we may be in his nearness, so that freedom in our lives may take place. Perhaps the most important message from this text here is that Jesus wants to cross the boundaries of his people and to bring freedom everywhere. But that is not freedom that is possible unless the doors are opened. If we do not want him to be with among us, if we do not desire for him to remain with us. There are several texts in the New Testament where the gospel writers speak about some wanted for Jesus to stay and others did not want it. I think that there's an important message for each one of us. What is the situation with me? Do I want for him to remain in my nearness? May God grant that tonight's meeting with him, living, alive, may awaken within us the conviction that we can live completely free in his nearness. And the hope that within us he will awaken the will that we may be free people. Amen.